Shadow of a Gunman.
When sweet summer's ardent arms outspread, entwined with flowers, enfold us like two lovers newly wed through ravished hours, then sorrow, woe, and pain lose all their powers, for each is dead, and life is only ours.
Right. By the way, these elves born of a body. On me soul, I'm beginning to believe the Irish people are still in the Stone Age. They couldn't throw a bob at you.
A landmine exploding under the bed is the only thing that would lift you out of it.
Oh, I was fast in the arms of Morpheus. He was one of the infernal deities, wasn't he? Son of Somnus, wasn't he?
Well, I think so.
The poppy was his emblem, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, it's a bit cold this morning, I think, isn't it?
It's quite plain. I'm not going to get much quietness in this house.
I wonder what time it is.
The Angelus went some time ago.
The Angelus? I couldn't be that late, could it? I asked her to call me at 9 so I could get mass before I went to me rounds. Why didn't you give us a rap?
Give you a rap? Why, man, they've been thundering at the door and hammering at the window for the past 2 hours, to the house shook to its very foundations. But you took less notice of the infernal din than I would take of the strumming of a grasshopper.
Well, there's no fear of you thinking of anyone else when you're at your poetry. The land of saints and scholars will shortly be a land of bloody poets. I suppose Maguire has come and gone.
Maguire? No, he hasn't been here. Why, did you expect him?
Well, he said he'd be here at 9. Before the last chime has struck, says he'll be coming in on the door. Now, must be... What time is it now?
Ah, oh, must be 12:30.
Did anybody ever see the like of the Irish people? Is there any use of trying to do anything in this country? Have everything packed and ready. Have everything packed and ready.
Have everything packed and ready.
What's the use of having anything packed and ready when he didn't come? No wonder this unfortunate country is as it is. You can't depend on the word of a single individual in it. I suppose he was too damn lazy to get up. He wanted the streets to be well aired first. Oh, Kathleen E. Houlihan, your way's a thorny way.
Ah, me, alas, pain, ever, forever.
Shelley, Prometheus Unbound. I could never agree with Shelley. Not that there's anything to be said against him as a poet. As a poet!
But... He flung a few stones through stained glass windows.
Man, he wasn't the first, and he won't be the last to do that. But the stained glass windows, more than ever of them, are here still. And Shelley is doing a jazz dance down below.
And you actually rejoice and are exceedingly glad that, as you believe, Shelley, the sensitive, high-minded, noble-hearted Shelley, is suffering the tortures of the damned.
I rejoice in the vindication of the church and truth.
You know as little about truth as anybody else. And you care as little about the church as the least of those that profess our faith. Your religion is simply the state of being afraid that God will torture your soul in the next world, as you are afraid that black and tans will torture your body in this.
Say, go on, me boy. I'll have a right laugh at you when both of us are dead.
You're welcome to laugh as much as you like at me when both of us are dead.
I don't think I need to wash myself this morning. Do we look all right?
Ah, you're all right. It's too late now to start washing yourself. Didn't you wash yourself yesterday morning?
Oh, I gave myself a great robe yesterday. Well, I've got to pack this little suitcase. Have you seen it? Spoons, yeah, forks, laces, thread. I think I'll bring out a few of the braces, too. Damn it, the well-worn sixpence eats. It's great stuff in them. Did you see them?
Yeah, you showed them to me before.
But they're great value. I only hope I'll be able to get enough of them. I'm wearing a pair of them myself. I do coo hulling that so strong. There's a dozen spoons in each of these purses. 3, 6. Ah, but there's only 11 in this one. Let's try another. 3, 6.
My God, there's only 11 in this one, too, and one of them bent. I suppose I'll have to go through the whole bloody lot. It'll never be easy in me mind thinking there'll be more than a dozen in some of them. And still we're looking for freedom. Ye gods, it's a glorious country. Oh, God, there's the braces, aren't there?
That doesn't look as if they were strong enough for Cú Chulainn.
I put a heavy strain on them too sudden.
Good morning, gentlemen.
This is a nice 9 o'clock. What's the use of you coming at this hour of the day? Do you think we're going to work by moonlight? If you weren't going to come at 9, couldn't you say you wouldn't?
Take your hair on. I just blew in to tell you I couldn't go today at all. I have to go to Noxodan.
Noxodan? What in the name of God is bringing you to Noxodan?
Business. I'm going out to catch butterflies.
If you want to make a cod of anybody, make a cod of somebody else and don't be trying to make a cod of me. Here, I've had everything packed and ready for hours. You were to be here at 9 and you wait till just 1 o'clock to come rushing in like a mad bull to say you've got to go to Noxodan. And to leave Noxodan till tomorrow.
Can't be it, Seamus. If we waited till tomorrow, all the butterflies might be dead. I'll leave this bag here till this evening. Goodbye.
This is a hopeless country. There's a fella that thinks the 4 cardinal virtues are not to be found outside an Irish republic. Oh, I don't want to boast about myself. And I suppose I could call myself as good a gale as some of those that are knocking about now. As good a gale as some that are knocking about now. For I remember the time when I taught Irish 6 nights a week. When in the Irish Republican Brotherhood I paid me rifle levy like a man. And when the church refused to have anything to do with James Stevens, I tied a prayer for the repose of his soul on the steps of the pro-cathedral. Now, after all me work for Dark Rosaline, the only answer you can get from a rotten Republican to a simple question is, goodbye. What in the name of God can be bringing to Noxodan?
Hadn't you better run out and ask him?
That's right, make a joke of it. That's the Irish people all over. They treat a joke as a serious thing and a serious thing as a joke. Don't be still, I'm beginning to believe that the Irish people aren't, never were and never will be fit for self-government. They're made banner of the evil eye, King of Ireland. And so signs on it, there's neither conscience nor honesty from one end of the country to the other. I hope you'll have a happy day in Noxodan.
Who's that?
Who's that? Who's there?
Oh, don't give the countersign. Damn it, man, can't you go and see?
Good day, Mr. Sheaves. It's me sense folks are feeling well. You're looking well, anyhow. Well, you can't always go. He looks nowadays.
Doesn't matter whether I'm looking well or feeling well. I'm all right, thank you to God.
I'm very glad to hear it.
Doesn't matter whether you're glad to hear it or not, Mr. Mulligan.
Well, you're not inclined to be very civil, Mr. Sheaves.
Look here, Mr. Mulligan. If you come here to raise an argument, I've something to do. Let me tell you that.
I don't come here to raise no argument. A person that has small gains argue with you, let me tell you that.
I've no time to be standing here, gossiping with you. If you let me shut the door,
not shut no door till you've heard what I've got to say.
I'll say it then, and go about your business.
Oh, you're very high and mighty, but take care, you're not going to get a drop. What a bait you are not to know what brings me here. Maybe you thought I was going to ask you to come to tea.
Ah, me alas, pain ever.
Are you going to let me shut the door, Mr. Mulligan?
I'm here for me rent. You don't like your idea being asked to pay, you're just a lawful debts.
You'll get your rent, but you learn to keep your rent book in a proper way.
I'm not going to take any lessons from you anyway.
I won't have no more talk with you, Mr. Mulligan.
Talk or no talk, you owe me 11 weeks' rent, and it's marked down again in black and white.
I don't care a damn if it was marked down in green, white and yellow.
Oh, you're a terribly independent fella. And it'd be fitter for you to be less funny and stop trying to be billic and honest and respectable people.
Oh, just you be careful what you're saying, Mr. Mulligan. There's law in the land still.
Jimmy Sell there is, and you're going to get a little of a dow. Those papers are for you.
I want to have nothing to do with you, Mr. Mulligan.
What am I better? For the sorry day I haven't let you come into this house. These are notices to quit. I'm going to leave them here. Maybe they'll stop you writing letters to the papers about me and me house.
For goodness sake, bring the man in and don't be discussing the situation like a pair of primitive troglodytes.
Writing letters to the paper is my business, and I'll write as often as I like, when I like and how I like.
You'll not write about this house at all events. You can blow about the state of the yard, but you took care to say nothing about hay and rent. Oh no, that's not in your line. But since you're not satisfied with the house, you can pack up and go to another.
I'll go, Mr. Mulligan, when I think fit, and no sooner.
Not content with keeping the rent, you're starting to bring in lodgers. Not that I'm saying nothing against you, Mr. Davenport. Bringing in lodgers without as much as bigger leave. What's the word of coming to at all, that a man's house isn't his own? But I'll soon put a stop to your gallop. For on the 28th of the next month, out you go, and there'll be few sorry to see your back.
I'll go when I like.
I'll let you see whether you own the house or not.
I'll go when I like.
We'll see about that.
We'll see.
I will see.
Mind you, I'm in earnest. You're not stopping this house a minute longer than the
28th.
Ah, go to hell.
What in the name of God persuaded me to come to such a house as this?
That's nothing when you're used to it. Oh, too thin-skinned altogether. The old sod's got the wind up about you, that's all.
Got the wind up about me?
He thinks you're on the run. He's afraid of a raid and that his lovely property will be destroyed.
Why in the name of all the sensible should he think that I'm on the run?
Should they all think you're on the run? Mrs. Henderson thinks it, Toby Owens thinks it, Mr. and Mrs. Gregson thinks it, and Minnie Powell thinks it too. We'd better be off, we've got to do anything today.
Now, what are we going to do with these notices to quit?
I shove them up in a mat, please be one of the studies.
I mean, what action shall we take?
Well, I haven't tried to stop now. We'll talk about that when I come back. I'll get me all back on that hell mulligan yet. I wish to God that would come and smash his rookery to pieces, for it's all he thinks about. And mind you, hell mulligan to call himself a descendant of the true Gaels of Bamba. Huh? How proud were the chieftains of fame in his fall, the Suagon Uri Navarra, the stars of our sky and the salt of our soil. Oh, Kathleen Hill, on your ways a thorny way.
The last state is worse than the first. Oh, me alas, pain ever. But thee, Prometheus, no chain, no bars, no book. Ah, my dread love. And that fury come to plague me now. I'm not very tired.
Are you in, Mr. Shears?
No, he's not, Minnie. He's just gone out. If you run out quickly, you're sure to catch him.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Davenport. You'll do just as well. I just came for a drop in for a cup of tea. I shouldn't be troubling this way, but I'm sure you don't mind.
No trouble in the world. Delighted, I'm sure. There. Do you have enough?
Oh, plenty lashes. Thanks. Do you be all alone all the day, Mr. Davenport?
No, indeed. I wish to God I was.
It's not good for you, then. I don't know how you like to be by yourself. I couldn't stick it long.
No?
No, indeed. There's nothing I'm more fond of than a hooly. I was at one last Sunday, there's rings round me. Tommy Owens was there. You know Tommy Owens, don't you?
I can't say I do.
Do you not? The little fella that lives with his mother in the two-pair back. He's a gorgeous melodeon player.
A gifted son of Orpheus, eh?
You said it, Mr. Davern, the son of poor old Batty Owens. A wishy dawny bit of a man that was never sober, who was always talking politics. A man. Killed him in the long run.
A man should always be drunk, Minnie, when he talks politics. It's the only way in which to make them important.
Tommy takes after the old fella too. He talk from morning to night when he's a few jars in him. Poetry's a grand thing, Mr. Davern. I'd love to be able to write a poem. Lovely poem on Ireland and the men of 98.
Ah, we've had enough of poems, Minnie, about 98. And of Ireland too.
There's a thing for a Republican to say. But I know what you mean. It's time to give up the writing and take to the gorn. What's Mr. Shields doing with the old weeds in the glass?
Those aren't Shields, they're mine. Wild flowers is a kindlier name for them, Minnie, than weeds. These are wild violets. This is an arum maculatum, our wake robin. And these are celandines, a very beautiful flower related to the buttercups. One day, when morn's half-opened eyes were bright with spring sunshine, my hand was clasped in yours, dear love, and yours was clasped in mine. We bowed as worshippers before the golden celandine.
Oh, aren't they lovely? Isn't the poem lovely too? I wonder now who she was.
She who?
Be the way you don't know.
No, I'm sure I don't know.
It doesn't matter anyhow. It's your own business. I suppose I don't know her.
No, or no whom?
Well, whose hand was clasped in yours, and yours was clasped in hers.
Oh, that. It was simply a poem I quoted about the celandine. That might apply to any girl. To you, for instance.
But you have a sweetheart all the same, Mr. Darren, haven't you?
Aye, no. Not one minute.
No, you can tell that to someone else. And you a poet. And aren't all the girls fond of poets?
Well, that may be, but all the poets aren't fond of girls.
They are in the storybooks. Aye, I'm fond of more than one, too. Are you fond of them, Mr. Dunbar?
Of course I like girls, Minnie. Especially girls who can add to their charms by the way in which they dress. Like you, for instance.
No. You're on for cotton me, Mr. Dunbar.
No, really, Minnie, I'm not. You're a very charming little girl indeed.
Then if I am a charming little girl, you ought to be able to write a poem about me.
And so I will. So I will, Minnie. I've written them about girls not half as pretty as yourself.
Oh, I knew you had one. I knew you had one, Neil.
Nonsense. Every girl a poet writes about isn't a sweetheart. Annie Laurie wasn't the sweetheart of Bobby Bowman's.
You tell me she wasn't. And for Bonnie Annie Laurie, I'd lay me down and die. No man would lay down and die for any but a sweetheart. Not even for a wife.
No man, Minnie, willingly dies for anything.
Except for his country. Like Robert Emmet.
Even he would have lived on if he could. He died not to deliver Ireland. The British government killed him to save the British nation.
You're only joking now. You'd die for your country.
Yeah, I don't know so much about that.
You would. I know what you are.
What am I?
A gone man on the run.
Maybe I am. And maybe I'm not.
Oh, I know. Do you never be afraid?
Afraid? Afraid of what?
The ambushes, of course. I'm all of a tremble when I hear a shot go off. And what it must be in the middle of the firing.
I'll admit one does be a little nervous at first. But a fella gets used to it after a bit. A gunman throws a bomb as carelessly as a schoolboy throws a snowball.
I wish it was all over all the same. You'll take care of yourself, won't you, Don? Oh, me and Mr. Daphne.
Call me Donal, Minnie. We're friends. Great friends now. Go on, Minnie. Call me Donal. Let me hear you say Donal.
Place badly needs a tidying up. That's Donal. There now, he's satisfied. Well, he really does. It's in an awful state. Tomorrow's a half day, and I'll run in and straighten it up a bit.
Oh, no, Minnie, you're too pretty for that sort of work. Besides, the people at the house will be sure to start talking about you.
Do you think Minnie Powell cares whether they'll talk or no? She's had to push her way through life up to this without help from anyone, and she's not going to ask their leave now to do what she wants to do.
My soul within art thou, Minnie. A pioneer in action as I'm a pioneer in thought. The two powers that shall grasp the sorry scheme of things entire. And mow life nearer to the heart's desire. Lovely little Minnie. And brave as well. Brave little Minnie. And lovely as well.
I say nothing, Alice. Had you learning to type right? Is Mr. Gavin saying you? I say nothing else now, so help me God.
No, it'd be hard put to it, it'd be mind what you see in Tommy Owens.
Oh, right, Minnie. Tommy Owens is a heart. Good evening, Mr. Gavin. Don't mind me coming in. I'm Tommy Owens. I'm living up the two pair back, you know. Walking in Russell Walpole. Mr. Shays knows me well. You needn't be afraid of me, Mr. Gavin.
Why should I be afraid of you, Mr. Owens, or of anybody else?
No, why should you indeed? We're all friends here. Mr. Shays knows me well. All you've got to say, do you know Tommy Owens? And he tell you the sort of a man Tommy Owens is. There's no flies on Tommy, you got me?
Oh, for goodness sake, Tommy, leave Mr. Davin alone. He's got enough burdens on him already.
Not a word, Minnie, not a word. Mr. Davin understands me well as man to man. It's up to the Republic all the time, eh, Mr. Davin?
Oh, I know nothing about the Republic. I've no connection with the politics of the day and I don't want to have any connection.
You needn't say no more and not as good as a wink to a blind horse. You've no matter no making with a good, bad or indifferent. Problem or con. Now, I know it and Minnie knows it. Give me your hand. Two firm hands clasped together. With all the power out brave of the heartless English tyrant, the Saxon coward and knave. That's Tommy Owens' hand, Mr. Davin. A hand of a man. A man who Mr. Shears knows me well. By upon the gallows tree stood the noble-hearted tree, by the vengeful tyrant stricken in their bloom. But they met him face to face with the spirit of their race, and they went with souls undaunted to their doom.
Tommy Owens, for goodness
sake! God save Ireland, says the heralds. God save Ireland, says we all. Whether on the scaffold, boy, or the battlefield we joy. Oh, what matter when for Erin dear we fall? Mr. Davern, I'd die for Ireland.
I know you would. I know you would, Tommy.
I never got a chance. They never give me a chance. The same would be there if I was calling. Mr. Shields knows that. Ask Mr. Shields, Mr. Davern.
There's no necessity, Tommy. I know you're the right stuff if you got the chance. But remember that he also serves who only stands and waits.
Well, I'm bloody well swear to wait. We're all tied away. Why isn't every man in Ireland out with the IRA? Up with the barricades, up with the barricades. Now or never, now and forever, as Sarsfield said at the Battle of Vinegar Hill. Up with the barricades, that's Tommy Jones and a penny boy's a whistle. Let them as thinks different, say different. What do you say, Mr. Davern?
I say, Tommy, you ought to go up and get your dinner. If you wait much longer, it won't be worth eating.
Ah, damn the dinner. And who'll think of dinner in Ireland fighting to be free? Not Tommy Jones, anyhow. It's only an Englishman who's always thinking of his belly.
Tommy Owens!
Oh, excuse me, Miss Powell. In the ardour of my anger, I just remembered it was a lady present.
Come along in, Mr. Davern won't mind. It's him as can put you in the way of having your wrongs righted. Come on in, man. Don't be so shy. Mr. Davern is one of ourselves that stands for government of the people, with the people, by the people. Let's find you be as welcome as the flowers in May. Good evening, Mr. Davern, and God and his holy angels be between you and all harm.
Come on, Mr. Gallagher, and don't be a stranger. We're all friends here. And especially be doing a particular advice asked. Here's your man here.
Oh, I'm very busy just now, Mrs. Henderson.
Don't be put out, Mr. Davern. We won't keep you more than a few minutes. It's not me nor Mr. Gallagher to spoil sport. Him and me was young once, and knows what it is to be thrown at night in the pale moonlight with arms round one another. And I wouldn't take much and say there's game in Mr. Gallagher still, for I seen sometimes a dangerous cock in his eye. But we won't keep you and Minnie long asunder. He's a letter in our written.
Yeah.
You must know, Mr. Davern. Oh, excuse me for not introducing him sooner. This is Mr. Gallagher that lives in the front drawing room of number 55, as decent and honest and quite a man as you'd meet in a day's walk. And so signs on it. It's them as will be imposed upon. Read the letter, Mr. Gallagher.
Oh, read away, Mr. Gallagher. It will be attended to, never fear. We know our own now, eh, Mr. Davern?
Oh, hurry up, Mr. Gallagher, and don't be keeping Mr. Davern.
Give him time, Millie Powell, give him time. You must know, in all fairity, Mr. Davern, that the family living in the next room to Mr. Gallagher, at the back drawing room, to be particular. Am I right or am I wrong, Mr. Gallagher?
Oh, you're right, Miss Henderson. Perfectly right indeed. That's a very identical room.
Well, Mr. Davern, the people in the back drawing room are to be more particular. The residence, that's the word written in the letter. Am I right or am I wrong, Mr. Gallagher?
You're right, Miss Henderson. Perfectly right. That's a very identical room.
Well, Mr. Davern, the residence in the back drawing room, as I aforesaid, is nothing but a gang of tramps that ought to be allowed to associate with honest, decent, quite respectable people. Mr. Gallagher has tried to reason with them and make them behave themselves, which in my opinion they never will. However, that's only an opinion and not legal. Ever since, they have made Mr. Gallagher's life a hell. Mr. Gallagher, am I right or am I wrong?
Well, I'm sorry to say you're right, Miss Henderson, perfectly right. Not a word of exaggeration.
Well, now, Mr. Gallagher, seeing as I have given Mr. Davern a fair account of how you're situated and of these tramps' cleverality, I'll ask you to read the letter, which I'll say, not because you're there or because you're a friend of mine, is as good a letter as was decomposed by a scholar. Now, Mr. Gallagher, and don't forget the top, Sam.
One second there, Mr. Gallagher. I want to make a note of this. Is today the 24th or the 22nd?
The 21st, sir.
Thanks. Proceed, Mr. Gallagher.
To all to whom these presents come, greeting. Gentlemen of the Irish Republican Army.
There's a beginning for you, Mr. Davern.
Some swank.
Oh, there's a lot in that, Sam, mind you. It's a hard wallop with the British Empire.
Go on, Mr. Gallagher.
I wish to call your attention to the persecution me and my family has to put up with in respect of and appertaining to the residents of the back drawing room of the house known as 55 St. Teresa Street, situated in the parishes of Thomas in the Borough and County of Dublin. This persecution started 18 months ago, or to be precise, on the 10th day of the 6th month in the year 1920.
That's the word I was trying to think of. Precise. Oh, it cuts the ground from under their feet, so to speak.
We, the complainants, resident on the ground floor, deeming it disrespectful.
Which it was.
Deeming it disrespectful to have an open hall door and to have the hall turned into a playground, made a solemn protest. And, in consequence, we, the complainants, aforesaid, has had no peace ever since. Owing to the persecution, as aforesaid specified, we had to take out a summons against them some time ago, as there was no Republican cause then. But we did not proceed against them, as me and my wife, to wit James and Winifred Gallagher, has a strong objection to foreign courts as such. We had peace for some time after that. But now things has gone from bad to worse. The name calling and the language is something abominable.
Excuse me, Mr. Gallagher, but I think the word shocking should be put in there after abominable, for the language used by these tramps has two ways of being looked at, for it's abominable to the children and shocking to your wife. Am I right or am I wrong, Mr. Davlin?
Oh, shocking is a right good word, a great deal of meaning.
Tell me, let Mr. Davlin speak. Whatever Mr. Davlin says, Julia Henderson and abide by.
I think the word might certainly be introduced with advantage.
Oh, over there, Mr. Gallagher. Put in the word shocking, as aforesaid.
Shocking?
There's two K's in shocking.
The language is something abominable and shocking. If you would be so kind as to send some of your army or police down to see for themselves, we give them full particulars. I have to be always from home all day, as I work with Mr. Hensey, the handsmaker of the Coombe, who will furnish all particulars as to my unvarnished respectability. The name of the resident tenant who has given all this trouble and who, pursuant to the facts of the case aforesaid mentioned, will be the defendant, is Dwyer. While leaving it entirely in the hands of the gentlemen of the Republican Army, the defendant, that is to say James Gallagher of 55 St. Peter's Street, ventures to say that he thinks he has made out a primi facie case against Mrs. Ward and all her heirs, male and female, as aforesaid mentioned in the above-written schedule. Witness my hand this 10th day of the 5th month of the year 1920, James Gallagher.
There's a letter for you, Mr. Davlin.
It's the most perfectest letter I ever heard, Rich.
Wasn't you really that rigid, Mr. Gallagher?
Sinn Féin one, him and him only, Minnie. I've seen him with me own two eyes when me and Winnie, Mrs. Gallagher, Mr. Davlin, of course, said as appears in the letter, was having a chat by the fire.
You'd never think it was in him to do it.
And to think the likes of such a man as to have the sole case worried out of him by a gang of tramps. But it's in good hands now. And instead of them settling yous, Mr. Gallagher, it's yous that'll settle them. Give the letter to Mr. Davlin, we'll be gone.
Oh, yes. Now, here you are, Mr. Davlin.
There.
Here
you are. I hope you and Mr. Sheeds is getting on all right together, Mr. Davlin.
Fairly well, thanks, Mrs. Henderson. We don't see much of each other. He's out during the day and I'm usually out during the evening.
I'm afraid he'll never make a fortune out of what he's selling. He'll talk above an air over a pair of the pins. Every time he comes to our place, I buy a packet of hairpins from him to give him a little encouragement. I tell to God, I've as many pins now as I'd make a wire mattress for a double bed. All the young devils about the place are beginning to make a jeer of him too. I gave one of them a man of all the other day for calling him own hairpin.
Oh, Mr. Shields is a man of exceptional mental capacities, worthy of a more dignified position.
Oh, their words are true, Mr. Gallagher, and they aren't. For to be wise is to be a fool, and to be a fool is to be wise.
Mrs. Henderson, that's a paradox.
Maybe what a paradox, or a blackboard, or for the matter of that, a lark. But it's what Julia Henderson thinks anyway. Oh. Is that a stop press? Run out, Tommy, and get and see what it is.
Oh, we haven't got a maid.
I've never seen any other way. And you'll always be the same if you keep following your spearmints and your bumblebees and your night patrols. Is that a stop press, Mrs. Gregson? Oh, that's the stuff they give them. Was there anybody hurted?
No chap named McGuire, the paper says.
What name did she say?
McGuire. Did you know him, Mr. Robin?
Yes. No, I didn't know him. No, I didn't know him, Minnie.
I wonder if it is the McGuire that just be with Mr. Shields.
Oh, no, not at all. It couldn't be.
Amsterdam. That's in the county Sligo now, or I'm greatly mistaken. Am I right, Mr. Gallagher, am I wrong?
Oh, yes, oh, that's where it is. Loxodon, that's the very identical county, yes. Yeah.
Well, I think we'd better be making a move, Mr. Gallagher. Yes. We've kept Mr. Devlin long enough, and you'll find the letter be in good hands.
Mr. Devlin, sir, before we go, on behalf of myself, James Gallagher, and Winifred, Mrs. Gallagher, wife of the said James, I beg to offer, extend and furnish our humble and hearty thanks for your benevolent goodness in interfering in the matter specified, particularly and expanded upon in the letter, mandamus or schedule as the case may be. And let me interpretate to you on behalf of myself and Winifred Gallagher that whenever you visit us, you'll be supremely positive of 100,000
There's a man for you, Mr. Devlin. You forgot to mention Biddy and Shaw, Mr. Gallagher. His two children, Mr. Devlin. It himself has them trained well. It should make your heart trill like an alarm clock to hear them singing Faith of Our Fathers and wrap the green flag round me.
Faith and Fatherland, Miss Tennyson. Faith and Fatherland.
Oh, well, good day, Mr. Devlin, and God keep you and strengthen all the men that are fighting for Ireland's freedom.
I must be off too. So long, Mr. Devlin. And remember that Tommy Yowes only waits the call.
Well, Biddy, by yourself once more.
And that Tommy Owens give you the sick when you're waiting to hear the call. And then did you take all the brass bands in the country to blow the call before Tommy Owens would hear it? Oh, Sacred Heart, I've only 10 minutes to get back to work. I'll have to fly. Quick, Mr. Devlin, write my name in typewriting before I go. Just Minnie. Now, you is underneath. Just Dona. Minnie. Dona. Dona. Minnie. Why now?
Yeah, what about your milk?
I haven't time to take it now.
Minnie, Dona, Dona, Minnie. Very pretty, but very ignorant. A gunman on the run. Be careful, Donald Averin. But Minnie's attracted to the idea. And I'm attracted to Minnie. And what danger can there be being the shadow of a gunman? Mm-hmm.
makes all beautiful in which she smiles. That wandering shrine of soft yet icy flame, which ever is transformed, yet still the same. Ah, Shelley, Shelley. You yourself were a lovely human orb shining through clouds of whirling human dust. She makes all beautiful in which she smiles. Ah, Shelley, she couldn't make this thrice accursed room beautiful. Your beams of beauty only make its horrors more full of horrors still. There is an ugliness that can be made beautiful, and there's an ugliness that can only be destroyed. And this is part of that ugliness. Donald, Donald, I fear your last date is worse than your first. When night advances through the sky with slow and solemn tread, the queenly moon looks down on life below as if she read man's soul, and in her scornful silence said, all beautiful and happiest things are dead. I'm neither awake nor asleep. I'm thinking.
I was just thinking too. I was just thinking too that McGuire is sorry now that he didn't come with me instead of going to Noxodan. He got something besides butterflies. Two of them he got. One through each lung.
The artist people are very fond of turning a serious thing into a joke. That was a serious affair for poor McGuire.
Well, why didn't he do what he arranged to do? Did he think of me when he was going to Notre Dame? How can you expect me to have any sympathy with him now?
You can hardly expect that now that he's dead.
The Republicans will do a lot for him now. How am I going to get back the things he has belonging to me either? There's some of them in that bag over there, but that's not a quarter of what he had. I don't know where he was stopping, for he left his old digs a week or so ago. Oh, I suppose there's nothing to be said about my loss. Went to sing dumb.
I hope there's nothing else in the bag besides threads and herbins.
What else would be in it? I can't sleep properly ever since they put on this damn curfew. A minute ago I thought I heard some of the ill ones standing at the door. They won't be satisfied till they bring a raid on the house, and they never begin to stand at the door until after curfew. You got a bed on?
No. I'm trying to finish this poem.
If it was you, I'd give that game up. It doesn't pay a working man to write poetry. I don't profess to know much about poetry. I don't profess to know much about poetry, I don't know much about the pearly glint of the morning dew, or the damask sweetness of the rare wild rose, or the subtle greenness of the serpent's eye. I think a poet's claim to greatness depends on his power to put passion into common people.
Aye. Passion to hell for its destruction. The people. Damn the people. They live in the abyss. The poet lives on the mountaintop. To the people, there's no mystery of colour. It's simply the scarlet coat of the soldier, the purple vestments of a priest, the green banner of a party, the brown or blue overalls of industry. To them, the might of design is a three-roomed house or a capacious bed. To them, beauties for sale in a butcher shop. To the people, the end of life is the life created for them. To the poet, the end of life is the life that he creates for himself. Life has a stifling grip upon the people's throat. It is the poet's musician. The poet ever strives to save the people. The people ever strive to destroy the poet. The people view life through creeds, through customs, and through necessities. The poet views creeds, customs, and necessities through life. The people think...
What's that? Is that the tap?
Tapping? What tapping?
This is the second noise I heard that tapping. I believe it bodes no good to me. There. You hear it again. A quiet, steady, mysterious tapping on the wall.
I hear no tapping.
It'd be better for me if you did. It
a sure sign of death when nobody hears it but myself.
Death? What the devil are you talking about, man?
I don't like it at all. There's always something like that head when one of our family dies.
I don't know about that. But I know there's a hell of a lot of things heard when only your family lives.
God between us and all harm. Thank God I'm where I ought to be. In bed. It's always best to be in your proper place when such things happen. Sacred. There it is again. Do you not hear it now?
Ah, for God's sake, go asleep.
Do you believe in nothing? I don't believe in tappings. Stop again. We'll try to go to sleep for fear it'll begin again.
Oh, I do. And if it starts again, I'll be sure to waken you up.
It's very cold tonight. Do you feel cold?
I thought you were going to sleep.
Bloody cold won't let me. Not a pair of pajamas on you. Do you ever wear pajamas, Don?
No, no, no.
What kind of stuff is in them?
Ah, it depends on the climate. In India, silk. In Italy, satin. And the Eskimo wears them made from the skin of the polar bear.
Oh, if you take my advice, you'll put out that candle and get into bed. That poem is beginning to get on your nerves.
Nice! I'm going to bed now so you can shut up.
I was going to say something when you put out the light. Is this a bus? Huh? Oh, boy. When I was coming in this evening, I saw Minnie Powell going out. Now, if I was you, I wouldn't have that one coming in here.
She comes in. I don't bring her in, do I?
The L ones will be talking, and once they start, you don't know how it'll end. Surely a man that has read Shelley couldn't be interested in an ignorant little bitch that thinks of nothing but jazz dances, foxtrots, picture theatres and dress.
Right glad I am that she thinks of dress. For she thinks of it in the right way and makes herself a pleasant picture to the eye. Education has been wasted on many persons, teaching them to talk only, but leaving them with all their primitive instincts. Had poor Minnie received an education, she would have been an artist. She is certainly a pretty girl. I'm sure she's a good girl, and I believe she's a brave girl.
Ah, Helena, so I come to live in a tenement. You think a lot about her simply because she thinks a lot about you. And she thinks a lot about you because she looks upon you as a hero, a kind of Paris. Oh, she'd give the world and all to be getting a bit with a gun, man. And what ecstasy it'd give her if after a bit you were shot or hanged. She'd be able to go about then like a good many more singing, I do not mourn me dad and lost for he fell in his jacket green. And for a year and a day all round her hat she wear a tricoloured ribbon, oh. Did she pick up and marry someone else? Possibly a British Tommy with a monster. And as for being brave, it's easy to be that when you've no cause for cowardice. I wouldn't care to have my life dependent on brave little Minnie Powell. She wouldn't sacrifice a jazz dance to save
her. That's enough about Minnie Powell. I'm afraid I'll soon have to be on the run out of this house, too. It's becoming painfully obvious that there's no peace to be found here.
Ah, this house is all right. Batting the children, it doesn't be quiet enough. Putting the children in the last place you were in, too.
Aye, 10. And they were all over 40.
Everything is very quiet now. I wonder what time it is.
The village cock had thrice done salutation to the morn.
Shakespeare, Richard III, Act 5, Scene 3. It was Ratcliffe said that to Richard just before the Battle of Bosworth. How peaceful the heavens look now with the moon in the middle. You'd never think there was men prowling around trying to shoot each other. I don't know how a man who was shot anyone can sleep in peace at night.
There's plenty of men can't sleep in peace at night now unless they know that they have shot somebody.
I wish to God it was all over. The country's gone mad. Instead of counting their beads now they're counting bullets. Their Hail Marys and Paternosters are bursting bombs. Bursting bombs in the rattle of machine guns. Petrol is their holy water. Our mass is a born and built, and our De Profundis is the soldier's song, and our creed is, I believe in the gun almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And it's all for the glory of God and the honour of Ireland.
I remember the time when you yourself believed in nothing but the gun.
Oh, but there wasn't a gun in the country. A different opinion now, there's nothing but guns in the country. You didn't open your mouth. Well, Kathleen Houlihan is very different now to the woman who used to play the harp and sing, weep on, your hour is past. She's a raging devil now. If you only look crooked at her, you're sure of a punch in the eye. This is the way I look at it. I look at it this way. You're not going to beat the British Empire. The British Empire. By shooting an occasional Tommy at the corner of an occasional street. Besides, when the Tommies have the wind up, when the Tommies have the wind up, they'll bang at everything they see. They don't give a God's course hootie plug.
Maybe they ought to get down off the lorry and run to the records office to find out a man's pedigree before they plug him.
It's the civilians that suffer. And there's an ambush, they don't know where to run. Shot in the back to save the British Empire and shot in the breast to save the soul of Ireland. I'm a nationalist myself, right enough. A nationalist, right enough, but all the same. I'm a nationalist, right enough. I believe in the freedom of Ireland and that England has no right to be here. But I draw the line when I hear the gunmen blowing about dying for the people. When it's the people that's dying for the gunmen. With all due respect to the gunmen, I don't want them to die for me.
Nah, not likely. You object to any one of them deliberately dying for you for fear that one of these days you might accidentally die for one of them.
You're one of the brave fellas that doesn't fear death.
Why should I be afraid of it? It's all the same to me how it comes, where it comes and when it comes. I leave fear of death to the people that are always praying for eternal life. Death is here, death is there, death is busy everywhere.
Aye, in Ireland. Thanks be to God, I'm a daily communicant. There's a great comfort in religion. Makes a man strong in time of trouble and brave in time of danger. No man need be afraid with a crowd of angels round him. Thanks be to God for his holy religion.
You're welcome to your angels. Philosophy is mine. Philosophy that makes the coward brave, the sufferer defiant, the weak strong, the weak.
In with them two big windows. You couldn't tell the minute a bullet had come in through one of them, through one of them, and hit
the what, man?
The wall.
You couldn't say that at first without making a song about it.
I don't believe there's horses in the stable at all.
Stable? What stable are you talking about?
There's a stable at the back of the house with an entrance from the yard. It's used as a carpenter shop. Didn't you often hear the peculiar noises at night? They give it up that it's the horses shaking their chains.
And what is it?
Oh, there, I'll leave
you. Surely you don't mean that.
I do mean it.
You do mean what?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Go on.
I wouldn't be surprised if there were manufacturing bombs there.
My God. That's a pleasant contemplation. The sooner a mother run out of this house, the better. How did you never said anything about this before?
Well, I didn't want...
You didn't want a box.
I didn't want to frighten you.
You're bloody kind.
You asleep, Mr.
Shields? The devil can shame on this hour of the night. No, Mrs. Grayson, what is it?
Hasn't turned up yet. I'm stiff with a cold waiting for him.
Mr. Grayson, is it?
And the office, Mr. Shields, after taking his tea at 6 o'clock. Oh, no, and turned the light was before 6. I remember the Angelus was ringing out and we sitting at the table. After taking his tea, he went out for a breath of fresh air, and I hadn't seen sign or light of him since. He actually kept me ever so in my mouth, thinking he might be shot with the blackened hands.
Ah, no, you'd be all right, Mrs. Gregson. You ought to go to bed and rest yourself. It's always the worst that comes into a body's mind. Now go to bed, Mrs. Gregson. You catch a death of cold.
I'm afraid to go to bed, Mr. Shields. They're always in bed at some measure or another when he's a stop taking his fall down the kitchen stairs and break his neck. Not that I'd be any the worse if anything did happen to him. You know the sort he is, Mr. Shields. That sure gives me heart to run.
Now don't be downhearted, Mrs. Gregson. He may take a tough one of these days and turn over a new leaf.
For a leaf Adolphus will ever turn over. He's too far gone the horns for that now. Sure, no one doesn't mind him taking a pint or two of each top of that, but he won't. Nothing could fill him with beer. And no matter how much he may have taken, when he's taken more, he'll always say, here's the first today.
Christ, is she going to stop talking there all night?
She'll hear you. I don't know if the man has the problem. It's her heart broke.
And because he has her heart broken, she's had the privilege of breaking everybody else's.
Mr. Shields?
Yes.
Do the insurance companies pay if a man is shot after curfew?
Well, that's a thing I couldn't say, Mrs. Gregson.
isn't he a terrible man to be taking such risks and not knowing what'll happen to him? He knows them society only wants an excuse to do people out of their money. Isn't that the one now, Mr. Sheets?
Oh, it must be after one, Mrs. Greenson.
Oh, if I was a young girl again, I'd think twice before getting married. I know, by the way, it's something. Is that you, Dorothy, dear? Oh, Dorothy, you mind yourself.
All right. The other woman.
What am I to do?
Mind me. It would be a good thing to have named me. So come on, dear. Come on, Angel. I've paid another. Not that bloody house, anyway. Say a word for me, is it? And what are you thinking of saying out of the Adolphus Gretchen? Is there anyone who wants to say in the Adolphus Gretchen? If there is, it's here. Mom, too. There's no blood to it. Mom! Well, I care for anyone in the house. Are they giving me anything? Where are they keeping Gretchen and be tying up for them to talk? Tell them Adolphus Gretchen wasn't born in a book.
Yes,
Mom, that's actually, you don't know you were born in a book. Or someone in this house thinks Gregson was born in a
book. The most appropriate place for him to be born.
No, come on,
Doctor.
I'm going to tell you that
enough. I'll talk about them now. You think I'm afraid of them? Adolphus Gregson's afraid of nothing. Creeping or walking. Does anyone in the house think she's fit to take a fall out of Adolphus Gregson? He's here. A man. They'll find that Gregson's no soft thing.
Me and us, pain, ever, forever.
Dear, Mr. Davern wants to go to bed.
Oh, she's terribly anxious about Mr. Davern, isn't he?
Davern, he's a man. Leave it there, mate. You needn't be afraid of Adolphus Gregson. And I was a drop of informer's blood in the whole family of Gregson. I don't know what you are or what you think, but you're a man, and not like some of the gougers in this house that'll hang you. Not preferred to you, Mr. Sheets.
Oh, no, you're not deluded
to
Mr.
Sheets. I know that, Mr. Gregson. Now go on down now with Mrs. Gregson half asleep.
I tie myself to no woman's apron strings, Mr. Shields. I know how to keep Mrs. Gregson in her place. I have the authority of the Bible for that. I know the Bible from cover to cover, Mr. Davern, and that's more than some of this house could say. And what does Holy Scripture say about woman? It says the woman shall be subject to her husband, and I'll see that Mrs. Gregson keeps the teaching of the Holy Book in the letter and in the spirit. If you're ever in trouble, Mr. Davern, and Gregson can help you, I'm your man. Have you, mate?
I have you, Mr. Gregson, I have you.
Right. I'm an orange man, and I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm not afraid of it, but I can feel for a true man, all the same. Have you got me, Mr. Sheets?
Oh, we know you well, Mr. Gregson. Many a true Irishman was a Protestant. Tom, Emmett, Parnell.
Mind you, I'm not saying as I agree with them you've mentioned, Mr. Shields, for the Bible forbids it, and Adolphus Gregson will always abide by the Bible. Fear God and honour the King. That's written in Holy Scripture. And there's no blot that out. But here, Mr. Davern, have a drink. Just to show there's no coolness.
No, Mr. Gregson. It's too late now to take anything. Go on down now with Mrs. Gregson and we can have a chat in the morning.
Sure you won't have a drink?
I'm quite sure. Thanks, officer.
Here's the first to be. You're all true men. Even if they were born in body. Here's to King William. To the Battle of the Boyne. To the Hobart Black Chapter. That's my lot, Mr. Powell. And to the Orange Lily. And did you go to see the show? He's chosen pink and dilly. Oh, to feast your eyes and view the prize one be the Orange Lily. Oh, the Viceroy there, debonair just like a daffodilly. Oh, well, Lady Clark plays as a lark of folks, the Orange Lily, oh. Hey-ho, the little hey-o, the royal, loyal little hey-o. Beneath the sky, what flower can vie with their arms are in your little hey-o.
Holy God, isn't this terrible?
The elated news, hear the news, and like a cornet filly, yo, as gossip fiended loud proclaim the triumph of the lily, yo. The lowland field may roses yield, gate the highlands hilly, yo. But high or low, no flower can show, like Aaron's orange lily, yo. Hey ho, the lily, yo, loyal, loyal lily, yo. Need the sky with the clear convey. There's no need to be afraid. They couldn't be coming here.
God forbid.
It's
a bit horrible
if they came at this hour. They're rushing on you when you're least expecting them. Oh, what in the name of God has gone coming out of it all? Nobody now cares a thrown in about the orders of the Ten Commandments. The only order anybody minds now is put your hands up. For hopeless
country. You hear them talking inside of the door? You're sure of your life nowhere now? It's just as safe to go everywhere as it is to go anywhere. And they don't give a damn whether you're a loyal man or not. If you're a Republican, they make you sing God Save the King. And if you're loyal, they'll make you sing the soldier's song. Seeing it'd be all right if they didn't make you dance afterwards.
It's hard they come here unless they heard something about Mr. Davern.
About me? What could they hear about me?
You'll never get some people to keep their mouths shut. He was in the Blue Lion this evening. And you know who was there? Blowing out of him. But that little blower, Tommy Owens, there he was telling everybody that he knew where there was bombs, that he had a friend that was a general in the IRA. He could tell them what the staff was after doing, and that he could lay his hands on tons of revolvers, that there wasn't a mile from where he was living, but that he knew his home no one would keep to himself.
And God blast the little blower anyway. It's the like him that deserves to be plugged. What are you looking for among the books, down?
A letter that I got today from Mr. Gallagher and Mrs. Henderson. I'm blessed if I know where I put it.
Can't you look for it in the morning?
It's addressed to the Irish Republican Army, and considering the possibility of a raid, it'd be safer to get rid of it.
Help! Help! I think we'd better be getting to bed, Debbie. It's not right to be keeping Mr. Darren and Mr. Field awake.
What made them give you such a letter as that? Oh, they're not the state the country's in. You're always to take it. Have you got it?
You can't find it anywhere. Isn't this terrible?
Good night, Mr. Darren. Good night, Mr. Shee.
Good night, Mr.
Shee. Good night, Mr. What were you thinking of when you put your letter as that? There's nobody any brains left at all.
This is
all
this country.
You try your pocket. Oh.
Thanks be to God. Here it is in my pocket.
Oh, no, for God's sake, don't take any letters like that again. There's a motor going away. You can sleep in peace now for the rest of the night. Well, just to make sure of everything now, have a look in that bag of McGuire's. Not that there can be anything in it.
If there's nothing in it, what's the good of looking?
I won't kill you to look, will it?
The fans come, you'll find whether I'm joking or no.
Isn't this a nice picket here? St. Anthony looked down on us.
Just pull your spine and St. Anthony! Why did you let McGuire leave the bag here?
Why did I let him leave the bag? Why did I let him leave the bag here? How did I know what was in it? Didn't I think there was nothing in it but spoons and hairpins? What do we do, man? What do we do? Not to let God grant there be no rage tonight. Fucking yield things that go wrong when we miss mass this morning.
Give over your praying! Let us try to think of what is best to be done. There's one thing, sir. As soon as morning comes, I'm on the run out of this house.
Oh, thinking yourself, look the rest of them, leaving me to bear the brunt of it.
And why shouldn't you bear the brunt of it? McGuire's no friend of mine. Besides, it's your fault. You knew the sort of man he was, and you should have been on your guard.
Did I know he was a gunman? Did I know he was a gunman? Did I know he was a gunman?
You need to tell me
just
that.
Just a moment.
You did
just
know
a moment.
That
just
McGuire was connected with the Republican movement. What's the use of trying to tell damn lies?
Mr. Dower, don't... Told they're all around the house. They must be going to raid the place. All the way out the window when I seen them. I should be on the watch every night. Have you anything? Here they are. There they are. There they are. There they are. What is it? What have you got?
Verity.
Bombs, bombs, bombs. My God, and the bag on the table there. We're done, we're done.
I'm ready for the great breakfast music. Oh, he said, I need to hit the button of the door. Isn't that the word by the end? He's saying out the contrition, Joel. There's the glass gone.
Well, I'll take them to my room. Maybe they won't search. If you do search, they won't harm me, girl. Goodbye, Donald.
If we come through this, I'll never miss a mass again. Get it, Betty. If it's the Tommies, it won't be so bad. But if it's the towns, we're going to have a terrible time. Oh, God.
Who's here?
Who's that?
Who's here?
Oh, only two men, mister. And me and me mate in the other bed.
Why didn't you open the door?
He didn't hear you knocking, sir.
Huh? You must be a little out of hearing, eh?
I had rheumatic fever a few years ago. Ever since I do be a little deaf sometimes.
How is it you're not in bed?
I was in bed. When I heard the knocking, I got up to open the door.
Oh, you're a kind bloke, you are. Delighted like to have a visit from us, then. Hey! Why don't you answer?
Yes.
What's your name?
Dan.
You're not an Irishman, are you?
I was born here.
Oh, you were you? Irish and proud of it, huh? What's your name?
Shane. Jimmy Sheen, sir.
Oh, you're a Celt. One of the Celtic race what speaks a lingo of its own and has got to overthrow the British Empire, I don't think. Here, where's your gun?
I never had a gun in the hand of my life, sir.
Oh, no, you wouldn't know what a gun was if you saw one, I suppose. Here, what's that?
Be careful, please be careful.
Why? What have I got to be careful about?
The gun, it might go off.
What price if it did? It can easily be reloaded. Any ammunition here? What's in that cabin?
It's only a little bit of rubbish. You get nothing here, sir. No one in the house has any connection with politics.
No. I've never met a man yet that didn't say that. But we're a little bit too wiky now to be kidded with that sort of talk.
Go and get a drink of water, sir.
You'll want a barrel of water before you're done with us. Hello. What's here? A statue of Christ and a crucifix. You think he was in the blooming monastery.
Just Mr. Shields. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And what do you think they did, Mr. Shields? They caught a hold of the Bible and flung it on the floor. And that was the thing, flinging the Bible on the floor. And then one says to another, Jack, see, have you seen the light? Is your soul saved? And then they grabbed hold of poor Dorothy, called them Mr. Moody and Mr. Sankey, and wanted him to offer up a prayer for the Irish Republic. And when they were putting me out, there they had the poor man sitting up in bed, his hands crossed on his breast, his eyes looking up at the ceiling, and he's singing a hymn, "We shall meet in the sweet by and by." And all the time, Mr. Sheets, there they were drinking his whiskey. They all laughing at poor Dolphy's terrible suffering.
In the name of all that's sensible, what do you want to bring whiskey home with him for? bad enough sober. What'll they be like when they're drunk?
Yeah, it's a drop home with them. He comes, it's nuts.
They'll hardly set all the house. Do you think they will, Mrs. Gregson?
And we have a picture over the mantelpiece of King William crossing the boy. Do you know what they wanted to make out, Mr. Shields? That it was Robert Emmett. And the picture of the sacred society.
She's not listening to what I'm saying. The country is hopeless and the people is hopeless.
For God's sake, tell her to go to hell with this. She's worse than the oxen.
I'll never stay, but she is as safe to have a woman in the room. If you come across the bombs, I hope to God Minnie will say nothing.
We're a pair of pitiful cowards to let poor Minnie suffer when we know that we and not she are to blame.
What else can we do, man? Do you want us to be done in if you're anxious to be riddled? I am not. Besides, that won't hurt her. She's only a girl. So long as she keeps her mouth shut, it'll be all right.
I wish I could be sure of that.
Do you think I'd go, Mrs. Gregson? What are they doing now?
It's not shaking like a jelly.
But they've gone upstairs, Mrs. Grayson. Do you think, Mr. Grayson? Will they be gone soon?
Well, they can put a
doggy
sit up in the bed. It's a glossy pot every minute. I think their guns going off and see poor doggy stretched out dead in the bed. I think I hear them both.
And Willis would be talking to a stone. Oh, hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. She thinks she hears a moan. It was bloody near time somebody made a moan.
He's moaning for the loss of his whiskey. My God.
Holy Saint, I'm glad you keep our mouths shut.
We'll never again be able to lift up our heads if anything happens to Minnie.
If I can't say keep quiet or somebody will hear you, nothing will happen to her, nothing at all. It'll be all right if only she keeps her mouth shut.
I'm trying to keep the whole lot of stuff in his room. And to blow up the whole street of answers.
Did she say it? Did she say that? What'd she say, Mrs. Grayson?
Oh, she shouted up the Republic at the top of her voice. And think Mrs. Henderson is fighting with the soldier. Oh. She's often nearly knocking one of them down and preparing for the lorry too.
Oh, God, blast! How could she not mind her own business? What does she want here? Didn't she know there was a raid on? Huh? The whole damn country going mad. They'll open fire in a minute and innocent people will be shot.
Well, where are they using Minnie, Mrs. Wixon? Are they rough with her?
Well,
I
couldn't be half rough enough, little pussy. It'd be so deceitful. She might as well have had the house blow up. Got some nice old tentacles in Minnie Power.
Oh, grant you won't say anything.
There. They're gone away now.
I'm glad you won't say it. Now, he's gone, Mrs. Grayson.
Stop him, son. Her palm comes and her creep to she blows us. Well, you see, talk to no good.
I'm glad you keep her mouth shut. And he's gone, Mrs. Grayson.
They're gone, Mr. Sheets.
Oh,
and here's Dorothy, another featherous tree on the mountain. Dear, you're all right. I thought you'd never see the morning.
Of course I'm all right. Why don't I put a bother on Dolphin Gregson? Not the town's anyway.
I see you stretched out in the bed and you're singing a hymn.
Who was singing a hymn? You hear me talking to you? Where did you hear me singing a hymn?
I was only joking, Dolphin dear. I never...
Your place is below and not gossiping here to men. Down with it quick.
Sing a song.
Exciting few moments, Mr. Dower. She lost her head completely. Panic-stricken. That's only natural. All women is very nervous. The only thing to do is to show them that they can't put the wind up you. Show the least sign of fright and they'd walk on you. Simply walk on you. Two of them come down. Put them up. Revolvers under your nose. You know, usually. What's all the bother about, says I? I can't. No bother at all, says one of them. Only this gun might go off and hit somebody. Have you me, says he. Now, what if it does, says I? A man can only die once, and you'll find Gregson won't squeak. God, you're a cool one, says the other. There's no blotting it out.
That's the best way to take them. Only makes things worse to show that you got the wind up. Any ammunition here, says the fellow that comes in here. I don't think so, says I, but you better have a look. No back talk, says he, or you might get plugged. I don't know of any clause, says I, in the British Constitution that makes it a crime for a man to speak in his own room. With that, they just had a look around and off he went.
If a man keeps a stiff upper front.
A
merciful God, there's an ambush.
Saying, Millie Powell is shot.
For God's sake, speak easy. Don't bring them in here on top of us again.
Is that all you're thinking of? Do you realize that she's been shot to save us?
Is it my fault? Am I to blame?
It is your fault and mine, both. Oh, we're a pair of dastardly cowards to let her do what she did.
She did it off her own bat. We didn't ask her to do it.
Her has been shot. Marie knows a few doors down. I just got to remind her to go away when it was ambushed. That thing hurt such shoot. And in the thick of it, her and her had to jump off the lorry she was at when she was shot through the bus. Oh, it was horrible to see the blood pouring out and then it moved. Or some paper in her breast with many written on it and some other name I couldn't make out with the blood. The office of Kansas. Ambulance inspectors, the hospital. What good is that when she's dead? Her little Millie Powell. Thinking you're full of life a few months ago. Now she's dead.
Ah, me, alas. Pain, pain, pain. Ever. Forever. It's terrible to think that little Minnie is dead. But it's still more terrible to think that Davern and Shields are alive. Oh, Donal Davern. Shame is your portion now till the silver cord is loosened and the golden bowl be broken. Oh, Davern. Donal Davern, poet and poltroon, poltroon and poet.
I knew something had come with the tapping on the wall.
You've been listening to The Shadow of a Gunman by Sean O'Casey, adapted for radio by Anthony Cronin. Donald McCann played Seamus Shields and Niall Buggy Davern. Colette Proctor played Minnie Powell, Thomas Dudley Adolphus Grigson, Jeanette Waddell Mrs. Grigson. Mrs. Henderson was played by Daphne Carroll, Mr. Gallagher by George Green, Tommy Owens by Jim Reed, the landlord by Brian O'Higgins, Maguire by Peter Dix, and the auxiliary by Lawrence Foster. Sound effects were by Michael Campion and Phil Cook. Sound supervision was by Marcus MacDonald. The Shadow of a Gunman was produced by John Lynch.
And The Shadow of a Gunman was broadcast this evening as a tribute to the late Donal McCann. Sio RCE Radio Aheon, as Maja Creda Adam Yantan, an Ordvan Agiacht, agus ar satellite as Aaron. Now, on this St. Stephen's Night, traditional music and song in a Kelly House special, the Farathí, Kieran Hanrahan.